Joshua chapter 16, please. The book of Joshua, chapter number 16. We've been traveling through the book of Joshua, and we've come now to chapter 16. And when I read it, you're going to say, what in the world is he going to say from that? But it's amazing how there's little gems everywhere throughout God's Word. As a matter of fact, we're not going to get through the message tonight, believe it or not. God willing, we'll pick it up next week. God willing now. Joshua chapter 16, verse number 5. It's good to see this good number in God's house on Sunday night. God bless you for that. I promise you, you'll be glad you're here whenever you see the Lord for the first time. That you put God's house first, no doubt about it. Joshua 16:5, and the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus, even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Ataroth-Adar. Say that five times fast, right? Unto Beth-Hor in the upper, and the border went out toward the sea to Machmetha on the north side, and the border went about eastward unto Taanath-Shiloh, and passed by it on the east of Genoa. And it went down from Genoa to Ataroth and Narath, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan. The border went out from Tapua westward under the river Cana. And the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. I want you to mark verse number 10. It's our text. It's where all of our points are going to come. Here it is. They drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Now, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark two words in verse number 10. It's the two words, the Ephraimites. And I want to begin a message tonight on that topic, the Ephraimites. And I know what you're thinking. Who are they? What in the world is he going to say? You'll see in just a moment. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you today, and I pray that you help me to preach this with power and clarity. We thank you for your word. Thank you that none of it is given by accident. Thank you that it is inspired by Almighty God, that it has the breath of God on it. And we praise you for that. That's where our authority comes from. Thank you for giving us your precious word tonight. And I pray as I preach, I confess, I've got to have your help. Please help me. And help me, Lord God, to apply this message to our hearts. It's great to know facts about the Bible, but Lord, show us how to apply those facts to our everyday life to make a difference in our daily living. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephraim was the younger of the two sons of Joseph, who was born in Egypt. He and his brother Manasseh were adopted by Jacob and ranked as his own sons, each becoming the ancestor of a tribe in Israel. And in blessing his grandchildren, despite his father's protest, Jacob preferred the younger Ephraim, foreshadowing the future imminence of his descendants in Genesis 41 and Genesis 48. Now we see when Moses died that a member of the tribe of Ephraim, by the name of Joshua, steps on the scene, whose faith and courage had distinguished him among the spies, and it calls him to succeed to the chief place in Israel. And later on, we see a leader in coming out of the tribe of Israel by the name of Samuel. And when you notice that these two men, Joshua and Samuel, we notice in all of this that we see the Ephraimites had great potential to do something for God. Having people such as Joshua and Samuel shows the caliber of people that the Lord brought out from among them. However, for our purpose tonight, we want to consider a good thing gone bad. A people who had great potential for God, who ends up not living up to their potential that God had given them. And let me say something to you that before I even get started tonight, that every single person listening to me from this pulpit all the way to the back and even in the balcony, every single person has God-given potential. God has given you potential to do great things for Him. There's no doubt about that. And I want you to take heed to what you're about to hear concerning the Ephraimites, a people of potential that did not follow through. Rather, they stopped short of God and what He had for them. Somebody said to die with potential is great tragedy.
And let me say this to you. I want all God has for me. I want to do everything God has called me to do. I'm not saying I'm doing it, and I'm not saying I'm doing it well, but God knows my heart. I do not want to die with God-given potential. And you shouldn't want to die that way either. You ought to have a desire to die fully exhausted from the potential that God has given you. Whether it be potential to lead or to write or to serve or to soul win, whatever potential He's given you, whether it be singing or testifying, you ought to have a desire in your heart that the God-given potential He's given me, I don't want to take it to the grave. Somebody said that some of the greatest potential is buried in our graveyards. Some of the greatest books that's never been written, it wasn't written because somebody died with that potential that God gave them. Some of the greatest preachers that's ever breathed air may have never stepped foot on the earth. I'm talking about preaching, because they died out of the will of God. The Ephraimites had great potential for Almighty God, but they stopped short of what God had for them. And I'm challenging you tonight, don't stop short of what God has for you. Whatever potential He's given you, do it for the glory of God. God has gifted you to do some great things. And whatever He's given you to do, don't die without doing it. Go all out for God. Now there's three things we want to share with you about the Ephraimites. We're only going to get to two of them tonight. Number one, and keep in mind when we're talking about the Ephraimites, we're talking about a people of God who had great potential, but they stopped short of that potential. And because of that, in a nutshell, they died losers. Stay with me, number one. First thing we notice in verse number 10 is we see their rebellion. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer." Now in that simple statement, we see rebellion. Now I'm going to prove that in just a moment. By the way, you know what rebellion means? It means an armed resistance to one's government. Rebellion is a defiance of any kind of authority. And let me tell you something, folks, that when we notice this definition, armed resistance to any gun, I'm talking about to somebody else's government or a defiance of any authority. This is exactly what the Ephraimites did to the Lord and His authority in their life. You know, it's clearly laid out in God's Word that God's commands are to be obeyed. We heard a little bit about that this morning. And let me tell you something, folks, God has simplified the Christian life. You know what He's made the Christian life? It is this: follow Him. Whatever He says, do it. If He tells you to jump, you ought to say, "How high?" If He tells you to go there, it ought to be, "Yes, sir." In other words, whatever God's will is in your life, and He has laid it out in Scripture, your answer should always be yes. And by the way, any command that God Almighty gives us, and we do not obey that command, that is not just disobedience, that's rebellion. That's rebelling against His authority in our life. Now stay with me here, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 13:4, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments." The Bible says in Deuteronomy 27:10, "Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day." Jeremiah 11:3, God said, "Obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you." Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the matter: "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You know, folks, God simply wants to tell you and tell me what to do, and He wants us to obey. What kind of a church would we have? Now listen, we have a great church, wonderful church. It has a testimony around the nation and in many parts of the world. But how much better could our church be if every single one of us would fully surrender to whatever God tells us to do? You want me to go soul winning? Yes, I will go. Because He's told you to. Let me tell you something. You want me to tell you why people don't go soul winning? Rebellion. Not me. I'm scared to death. Rebellion. Because God's commanded you to go. You see what I'm saying? It's time we see it for what it is. It's rebelling against authority. Is God our authority? Yes or no? Sure He is. Are you living that way? Are you living in subjection to Him? By the way, somebody said this.
Somebody said it's not the importance of the thing, but the majesty of the lawgiver that is to be the standard of obedience. See, the principle involved in obedience or disobedience was none other than the same principle which was tried in the Garden of Eden at the foot of the forbidden tree. It's not really, well, it's not that big of a deal. No, it's not what God tells you to do. It's the Lord telling you to do it. You understand the difference? It's not, well, he told me to do it, and that's not that big. Wait a minute. It doesn't matter what he says, who he is should determine whether we say yes or not. Right? In other words, because he is God, you know he's out to help you. You know he's out to bless you. You know he's not going to tell you to do something that's going to hurt you. So everything he does and commands you, because of who he is, you ought to say yes to that. Because he is God. It is the Lord. It really boils down to this. Is the Lord to be obeyed in all things whatsoever he commands? Is he a holy lawgiver? Are his creatures bound to give implicit assent to his will? It boils down to this. Is he worthy for me to obey? Now, is he yes or no? I know this is deep preaching tonight. I'm real deep. I know that. But the simple truth is what changes your life. God is worthy to be obeyed. Amen. He's worthy of that. He's God. He has the right to do it, and he says, if you obey me, I will bless you. You disobey me, I will curse you. And God says, I'm trying to help you, and because he is God, he's the ruler of the universe. He's the creator of mankind. He's the one that put us together piece by piece. He's the one who has our breath in his hands. He's the one that our heart beats because he tells it to. Because he is God, no matter what he tells me to do, because of him, my answer should be, yes, sir, I'll do that. Simple preaching.
But yet, it's missed all the time. Now notice in verse number 10, it says, and they drave not out the Canaanites. I've been going off here about they rebelled against God. What's it mean? I want you to hold your place. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy with me. The book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to have you turn in just to a couple places, two or three places here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verse 16. I'm going to show you that when they did not drive the Canaanites out, they were rebelling against the command of God. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 16. The Bible says, but of the cities of these people, now these people is talking about the promised land. Now stay with me here. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. For thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, here it is, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Flip back to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. I'm trying to show you the command that the children of Israel rebelled against. God has authority. God told them, I'm going to give you the promised land. By the way, they'd never have the promised land without God. Right? He gave it to them, and he says, before you ever go in, he says, I've got a command for you. Kick them out. Kill them off. Don't let anybody stay. And among those groups that he mentioned were the Canaanites. Look at Numbers 33, verse 52. The Bible says, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit it. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Now flip to one more place, Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1. I'm trying to show you the holy lawgiver was exercising his authority over the nation of Israel, and he was giving them a command. By the way, why was he giving them a command? Because he knew if they let them stay that they would affect them and infect them and turn them away from Him. You see that, don't you? God's commands are always for our benefit, folks. Always. Always. He's not out to hurt us. He's out to help us. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, here it is, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, here it is, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. Now do you see the command? There it is. In three separate places, flip back to the book of Joshua 16, we see in the first part of verse number 10, they drave not out the Canaanites. In that, some preacher might just try to candy coat that and say, that's okay, not God. God said, I told you to get rid of them. I told you to destroy them. And in Judges chapter 2, he said, you disobeyed me. That's what God said. He said, you disobeyed me. Why'd you do this? You know what disobedience is? Rebellion. Rebellion. Any parents like to have a rebel on your hand? I'd like to see you. I'd like to meet you. Nobody wants a rebel. You know what a rebel is? Somebody who does not like to be told what to do. Somebody who says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Rebel. Rebel. But wait a minute. Before we point our finger at some physical rebel, we've got a lot of spiritual rebels. God's told them to do this, they haven't done it. God's told them to go there, they haven't gone yet. God's told them to listen to that, wear that, go there, do this, and they haven't done it. Rebel. Rebellion. It's rebellion against authority. The Bible says in Judges 1:29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Psalm 78:9, listen to this. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Hosea 7:8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. They rebelled against the Lord's authority in their lives. Arabian horses go through rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. As a matter of fact, the trainers trained them with some special kind of whistle. And these trainers require absolute obedience from the horses. And they test them to see if they are completely trained. The final test is almost beyond endurance of any living thing. Here's what they do. The trainers force the horses to do without water for many days. Then he turns the horse loose, and of course they start running toward the water where they know the water is. They haven't had water for many days. But as they get right at the water, they blow the whistle. And a fully trained horse, even though it's thirsting and the water's right in front of it, a fully trained horse will stop, look at its master, come trotting back, and it'll sit there and start shivering and shaking because it's wanting that water, but it's had a command. And when the master realizes it has full obedience, and apparently he blows the whistle again and dismisses it to go get some water. You say, that's harsh. Maybe so, but if you're one of those masters in the Arabian desert, you better make sure that the beast under you is under full submission to you. Amen. Because he can kill you if he wants to. You know what's sickening? That an Arabian horse has more submission to his master than God's children has to him. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. And all I'm saying to you folks, God wants us to obey. Isn't that simple? That's simple. There was a man in his autobiography, A Life in Our Times, who illustrates the devotion of his family's housekeeper. Here's what he said. He said it had been a wearying day, and this man, who was the master of the house, asked Emily, who was the housekeeper, to hold all telephone calls while he took a nap. Shortly after he had laid down for a nap, the phone rang,
and President Lyndon Johnson was on the phone. He was calling this man. He said, "Give me Ken Galbraith." That's the master who's taking a nap, who ordered Emily to hold all phone calls. He said, "This is Lyndon Johnson." Emily said, "He's sleeping, Mr. President." And he said not to disturb him. "Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him." "No, Mr. President. I work for him, not for you." And the man said when he called the president back that the president could scarcely control his pleasure and said, "Tell that woman I want her in the White House." Let me ask you a question. Are you truly submitting to even the little things that God has given you to do? Are you in submission or are you rebelling? Whatever He tells us to do, our answer should already, right now, should already be yes. Whatever it is. Here's the Ephraimites with their potential under attack because they stopped short of obeying God. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word." Let me tell you how you can reach your full potential. Let me tell you how you can reach it. I'm talking about exhaust everything that God has for you. I'm talking about when, if God tarries and He doesn't rapture us out before He calls us home, how whenever they put our earthly remains under, I'm talking about 6 feet under, how can you know that you have reached your full potential for God? "Well, Jody, I guess I just got to put my mind up to it." No. All you got to do is obey the command that God's told you to do. And as He gives you another one, obey it. 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 And simply step in obedience to the revealed will of God in your life. Look at the life of Elijah. Whenever God told him to go to the brook Cherith, and there He will sustain him. So he went. The brook dried up. He said, "Now go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he went. And now we're reading about him in God's holy word. He reached his potential, not because he's some great man. No, he was a little man who simply obeyed his heavenly Father. That's it. That's it. Are you rebelling against God or are you living in obedience? Man, how simple is that? But how true is it? How true is it? Number one, their rebellion. Number two, quickly, their reason. Why did they rebel against God? Now, I can't prove this, but here we go. You can't disprove it. And by the way, it's right here in our text. Notice what the Bible says in verse 10. They drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites, here it is, unto this day, and serve under tribute. Now, I don't know if you see what I just saw. Now again, I don't think anybody can dogmatically say this is the reason why, but this verse right here brings out something very interesting. We see in this verse how the Ephraimites had the power to drive them out. Why? Because they're forcing them to pay tribute. Now stay with me here. You know what tribute was? Tribute was a tax given to somebody in token of submission. In other words, Scotty, if I was paying tribute to you, that means I recognized I'm under you and I'm paying you to live here. You understand what I'm saying? The Ephraimites forced the Canaanites to pay them. That tells you that they had power over them. Don't you see that? Now, here's what I think, and I think I'm right. Here it is. They considered financial gain more than following God. They considered sustenance more than submission to God. They considered money more than the mandate. They were greedy instead of being godly. They wanted personal gain more than pleasing God. And that's still going on today. There's no doubt about it. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. The bottom line is they sacrificed a great future good
on the altar of a little of present ease. Don't you see that? Here they are. They're powerful enough to drive them out because they have God's command. We already know that. But instead of driving them out, they say, wait a minute, let's get something from these people. Let's get something from them. And we see their reason was greed. Greedy. Instead of godly. In chapter 17, verse 13, we see the same thing happening. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute but did not utterly drive them out. They're making them pay, but they're not pleasing God. Good night, I feel like preaching right here a little bit. Judges 1:28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Hosea 12:8. Here's what Ephraim said. Listen to this. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. Hosea 12, verse 8. Powerful verse. God says Ephraim's bragging. They're saying they're rich. They're saying they found out substance. But they disobeyed me, God said. Which one do you want more, money or the mandate? Which one do you want more, pleasure or pleasing God? Which one do you want more? Financial gain or following God? Sustenance or submission? Are you greedy or are you godly tonight? Are you making your decisions based upon what you think you can get out of it? Or what you think God's going to do for you? There are those who serve God as long as it doesn't cost them anything. There are those who are sacrificing God's will for their own pleasure and ease and not following God. Not following His will because of money. Because they think money's not enough. Or because they think they're not going to get anything out of it. That is straight from the pit of hell, folks. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I had a preacher tell me one time. He said there was a church that's interested in him. He's thinking about going. But he made this statement. He said, I checked into it and they can't give insurance to me and my family, so I'm just going to mark it off. Are you listening to me? I have a hard time believing God led in that. Now, I'm not saying God can't use that to close the door, you understand? But as soon as this preacher told me this, he immediately closed the door and said, I'm not even going any further because they can't take care of my family. You listening? If you're in God's will, God will take care of your family. Amen. Now, God knows my heart. I'm co-pastor here. You have been so good to my family and myself. But God knows my heart. I'm not in this for the money, folks. I'm not in it for the money. And I know our staff would say the same thing. They are not in this for the money. Thank God. By the way, I got that from our preacher. Amen. He gives more than he takes in my opinion. Because what you give out doesn't necessarily have to be monetary. It doesn't have to all be money, you understand? He's poured his life out into this place. And I want to tell you something. God is more pleased with His will than your pleasure. No doubt about it. You say, Jody, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. There was a survey taken, and here's the question. What would you be willing to do for $10 million? Are you ready for this? What would you be willing to do for $10 million? Two-thirds of the Americans polled would agree to at least one or some of the several. Listen to this. 25% would abandon their entire family for $10 million. 25% would abandon their church. 23% would become prostitutes for a week or longer. 16% would give up their American citizenship. 16% would leave their spouses. 10% would withhold testimony and let a murderer go free. 7% would kill a stranger. 3% would put their children up for adoption. For $10 million. Let me ask you a question. When you look around America, do you see godliness or greed? But the sad thing is, God help us, it's eating our churches alive too.
There's some people who will never serve God. There's some young people, listen, I am praying, I'm talking about right now, while I'm preaching, I'm praying right now in my mind. God, reach down and save and call these young people. I'm talking about take these kids who can play instruments, take these kids who can speak. I'm talking about make mighty preachers out of these young men. I'm talking about make mighty handmaidens of the Lord out of these young people. And yet these young people already are being bombarded because they're wondering what kind of house they're going to live in, what kind of money they're going to have, what kind of car they're going to drive. Leave that to God and go God's way. Do what God wants you to do. Let me tell you something, folks. My personal testimony comes in here. And all I'm saying, I'm not saying be like me, but I know this. I know I had an opportunity to go somewhere in baseball. I'm not saying I ever went, but I had an opportunity. And may I tell you something? I was confronted with what I'm preaching about tonight. I was confronted financial gain or following God. And God helped me follow Him. And I wouldn't trade my life for anything in this world. Because I'm smack dab in the center of God's will. It's not about pleasing self. It's about pleasing God. It's not about me. It's about Him. And I wonder, are you in it for yourself? Or are you in it for God? Leave the results to God. Leave the provision to God and say, God, whatever you tell me to do, wherever you tell me to go, I'm not just talking about a life calling. I'm talking about day-to-day basis. The reason you ought to read your Bible is because God told you to do it. The reason you ought to go sowing is because God told you to do it. The reason you ought to pray is because God told you to do it. You ought to live your life saying yes to the will of God. And when you do that, He'll bless you. He'll take care of you. But not the Ephraimites. The Ephraimites said, no, no. I know He's told us to drive them out. Wait a minute. Let's see if we can mooch off of them a little bit here. Let's see if we can get something out of these people for ourselves. God said, it's not about your gain. It's about me. It's about God. Men who trap animals in Africa for zoos in America say that one of the hardest animals to catch is the ring-tailed monkey. For the Zulus of that continent, however, it's simple. They've been catching this little animal with ease for years. Here's how they do it. The Zulus will catch this ring-tailed monkey like this. It's based on the knowledge of the animal. Their trap is nothing more than a melon growing on a vine. The seeds of this melon are a favorite of the monkey. Are you with me? They love the seeds of this melon. So what the Zulus do is they'll just take this melon and cut a little hole in it where the seeds are in the inside. And these ring-tailed monkeys will come and stick their hand in so they can get their hand in there, and they'll grab all the seeds they can, and then they try to get out. But once they make a fist holding on to the seeds, their hand's now too big to get out of the hole. You with me? And it says that they'll fight that melon for hours. Just screeching, whatever. Screeching, trying to get out. And it's a simple thing. All they got to do is let go. That's all they got to do. But they'd rather have them seeds and be captured than to let them go and have liberty. Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? The devil knows what melon you're a sucker for. He knows what seeds you like. So he's cutting out holes in melons all over the place. And he wants you to stick your hand in there and grab it because it looks good. Oh, it feels good. Oh, it tastes good. Oh, this is so good for me. And the whole time you're really in bondage and don't even know it. Because he's coming to get you. And bind you. And take you down. Let me ask you a question tonight. You holding something clenched tonight? God, you can't have it. I'm going to hold on to this house. I'm going to hold on to this car. I'm going to hold on to this money, this job, this position. I'm going to hold on. Yeah, and you hold on, and you're going to be taken down. By the way, there may be somebody laughing tonight. Maybe somebody saying, he don't even know what he's talking about. I'll see you in 10 years, buddy. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. Amen. Because God is always right. You can't gamble with God and win. God says, obey me, I'll bless you. Disobey, and it's going to be bad news.
Proverbs 1:18-19, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. Proverbs 15:27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Are you proving by your actions that you're more interested in obeying God than obtaining gain? I'm not doing this. In other words, I'm going to do this, Jody, because it feels good. What's God's will? I'm going to do this because it looks good. Wait a minute. What's God's will in that? I'm going to do this because it tastes good. Wait a minute. What's God's will in that? Are you living according to God's will? Elizabeth Elliot told of her brother Thomas Howard. Their mother let him play with the paper bags she had saved if he had put them away afterwards. One day she walked into the kitchen to find all those paper bags thrown all over the floor. But Tom, the boy that she told, you can play with them as long as you put them up, he was out at the piano with his father singing hymns to the Lord. And when confronted, he protested, said, but Mom, I want to sing, I want to sing. His daddy piped up and said, it's no good singing God's praise if you're disobedient. I'm trying to help this church tonight. God help us not to be like the Ephraimites. God help us not to rebel against God. God help us, whether it's something that we consider small, like reading our Bible, or whether it's something huge, like young men answering the call to preach, whatever it may be. I'm talking about from one end to the other end. Whatever it is, why don't you say, I don't want to be a rebel. I want to submit to God. You say, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to pay is what I want to ask. Do you think God can give you more than this world? Do you? Then you got to prove it by saying yes to the will of God. Now we're 2/3 of the way through this message. Next week, God willing, or whenever it may be, we'll look at the result of their decision and how it truly was detrimental to them. But I want to challenge you tonight with these first two thoughts. Number one, don't rebel against God. Why? Because He's God and He knows what He's doing. Look here, please. Look here, please. Number two, one of the major reasons why people don't obey is because they think it's going to cost them. And it's not going to feel good. It's not going to be good for them. See, the Ephraimites thought they knew more than God, you see. I know God told us to kick them out, but He must have forgot about their money. So I'll just take on them for a little while. God said, that's a rebel. Because God is able to give thee much more than this. I give you these two verses, I'm closing. Here it is. That doesn't mean you're closing. Jeremiah 38:20, obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee. Jeremiah 42:6, it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Are you living in obedience? God help us with it. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Ephraim, the Ephraimites, did not obey God. They rebelled. The reason they rebelled is backed up very strongly, potentially, because of the greed that they had in their life. They were more interested in what they could get instead of giving themselves to God. And I wonder tonight, how can you make the most out of your life? The answer is simply submit to God, not greed. Go God's way, not greed's way. A people of potential stopping short of all that God had for them. Our Father, take it, use it, break it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Could it be possible that there's somebody under the sound of my voice tonight that you have come to church but you've never come to Christ? There's never been a time in your life when you've confessed your sin to Jesus and asked Him to come into your heart and forgive you. As a matter of fact, if you can say, I have made that decision, I am a child of God, I don't have to hope about that, I already know I am because I have trusted Christ and Christ alone, and I've placed my faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. If you can say that you're truly a child of God, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? If you can say that, thank you, you can put your hands down, God bless you. Is there somebody that says, Jody, I cannot say that, but there's something in me that wants to. I cannot say that I'm ready to meet God. I cannot say that I'm a Christian, that I'm saved, that I'm born again. But God knows I want to be able to say that. I could not raise my hand just a moment ago. But the next time somebody asks that question, I'd sure love to be able to do that. If that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand now? Anybody at all? I'm not going to come to your seat. I will not call you out. I promise you that. Anybody at all like that? Let me ask you this. Are you fulfilling the potential that God has for your life? Now, what I'm asking is this. I'm not asking, are you doing? I'm asking, are you being obedient? Are you living in obedience to the holy lawgiver that has the right to tell us what to do? Have you say, Jody, God is dealing with me. And I believe that when God looks at me, I'm going to be honest and say, I believe God sees an Ephraimite. Somebody that's out more for myself than for God. And I see this tonight. And I want to be an honest person. If that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand all over this auditorium? You say, Jody, pray for me. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Somebody else, you say, Jody, I just believe when God looks at me, He sees an Ephraimite. He sees somebody that's more interested in financial gain than following God. More interested in pleasing myself than pleasing God. Let me ask you this. Is there an area in your life where you're rebelling against God? It might be something like your Bible reading. You're not reading it every day. Rebel. 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 It might be something you're not soul winning. Rebel. You're not praying. Rebel. You're disobedient to your mom and dad. Rebel. Rebel. Somebody say, Jody, I'll be honest. I'm not necessarily in it to please myself than please God, more than please God, but God knows I'm rebelling against some things that He's told me to do. Either you're doing things you shouldn't or not doing things you should. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm rebelling against some things. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Good. Good. I'm gonna ask this question and I'm gonna open it up for our invitation. Tonight we're talking about going and giving all your potential to the Lord. I wonder if there may be a young man, maybe in our youth group, or maybe a young boy that's not even in the youth, or maybe a grown man that you've been fighting this for a long time. And you realize that you do not want to be buried with potential. You don't want to die short of what God has for you. Is there a man like that tonight? You say, Jody, I'm not sure if God's calling me to preach or something like that, but I feel God is really tugging at my heart to do something special, something really special with my life. And I don't want to die with that potential. I want to give it to God. If that's what He wants, I want to say yes. I want to say yes. If you're a young man and that's you, or an old man, or a young boy, and you say, I believe that's what God may be calling me to do, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? A young man? I'm looking. Any young men like that?
How about a young girl, maybe a teenage girl or a grown lady or a young girl that's not even in the youth group, and you say, Jody, I don't want to die with potential. And if God is calling me, I want to surrender to it. You say, Jody, God's speaking to me, and I just want to yield myself. You may not know what it is yet, but you say, I just want to yield myself, that if this is what God is dealing with me about, I want to say yes. I'm a young lady or an older lady, whatever the case may be. God is speaking to me. I believe He's speaking to me. Would you be an honest young person? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Thank you. Good. Good. Somebody else. Somebody else. So I don't want to die with potential. If God is calling me into something special, I want to answer it. Anybody along with this one, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, take it, use it, break it in a mighty way. Help those who responded to step forward and respond now. May You do a mighty work in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary, singing, if God is dealing with you, would you leave your place now? Would you do that? If you have your mate with you, grab them, bring them with you. Whatever the case may be, may God help you with this. God, help our church not to die with potential. I am the clay. Give it all to God.
Mold me.
Give it all to the Lord.
Make me after Thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through. I'd like you to look this way, please. We're just about through. There are those being dealt with and so on. I'll be honest with you. This is something that we're all confronted with every week of our life. Will we go God's way or will we go our way? That's really what it boils down to. The devil's going to whisper in your ear and so on, you deserve this. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. You can make your own decisions. Go your own way. God's trying to hold you back. That's what He told Eve. He's not being good to you. He's trying to withhold good from you. Do you really believe that? You think God Almighty is trying to hurt you? Think about it. I want Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I want Jody Jenkins, and I want my wife, and I want my son, and I want my daughter, and I want Brother Gary, and I want his wife, and I want his children, and I want Brother John and his wife and children, and Brother and Brother Bob and his wife, and I want all of our... I want us to determine we're not going to take potential to the grave. We're going to give it all to God. Do you understand what could happen if you did that? Do you understand that? Give it all to God. Don't die with potential. When do you make that decision? Now. Now. And the Lord will help us with this. Amen. That's our desire. I hope it's yours. God help you with it. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Joey, for that great message. And we have J.T. Steet has accepted Christ at school, you said, huh? And he wants to join our church and follow the Lord in baptism. Can he be baptized next Sunday? Well, that's wonderful. Thank the Lord. Okay, is there a motion we receive this fine young man on his profession of faith and for baptism? Motion made, is there a second? Motion's been made. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high.
Aye.
Opposed, certainly. There's no one opposed to that. If you do, you're in the wrong place here tonight. But we'll, God bless you, son. It is wonderful to see a young man trust Christ as his Savior like that. God bless you. Amen. Well, let's do contact these that are saved and saved. There's a number in our church that have been saved recently, and let's talk to them. Let's have a great day and see many follow the Lord in believers' baptism next Sunday. Thank you for coming tonight. Brother Bob, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Bob, ma'am.